Okie dokie. Got my Patriots mug. I love the Patriots. I am a Patriots fan. I've been a Tom Brady fan for 20 or so years, and a lot of people have disliked me for that. But Tom's a winner, and I picked a winning horse. And they really despise me for that. You know, they've always despised Tom Brady, but they despise the Patriots even more than Tom Brady. So it's kind of like being a Jew for Jesus. The world despises the Jews, and the world despises Jesus. But when you add Jesus to a Jew, it just makes him despise you that much more. That's like being a Patriots fan and a Tom Brady fan. But then Tom Brady went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and now he's like Mr. Wonderful. Everybody loves Tom Brady now. It's okay to love him now that he's with the Buccaneers. But it's okay. Everybody, it's okay to like Tom Brady. Everybody say it's okay. It's okay. You look at your neighbor, just say it's okay. Really, it's okay. You can all like to. He's going to be going to that Super Bowl, and old Mac Jones, he's got to do all right once he gets past his once he overcomes his little stage fright. I like Mac Jones. He's a good young lad. All right. Well, today's message is. Are we on there on Facebook, Josh? All right, shalom, Facebook friends. This is Rabbi Joe in Latin countries, in Spain. I'm known as Rabbi Jose. But we'll keep that between us, okay? Today's message is the man of lawlessness, the dragon, and the false prophet. The man of lawlessness, the dragon, and the false prophet. So I want to do a quick review of last week or 2 weeks ago because I really spent a long time in Daniel, and I want to do a quick review. And I want you, as we begin this, actually, I'm going to begin with my conclusion because I want you to be able to start to have a framework to as we talk about this. I want you to have a framework of what's going on, and you can hand those out, and I'll take one too after you're done. Hand them out. Don's gonna hand you out a copy of The Beast. By the way, in case you didn't know this, the United Nations they put up a statue recently in the last couple years of the Beast of Revelation 13. They put it. I believe it's outside the New York headquarters of the United Nations, and it's a beautiful statue of the Beast. Looks like he wants to bite your head off, and then fly away with it. this is significant because this is going to help clue us into the man of lawlessness and the Beast, and so the man of lawlessness is the Beast. We'll get to that. So I want to just point out some highlights before I begin the message of what we're talking about here. So first of all, I want to say, think the Great Reset. Everybody think the Great Reset. Who can tell me what the Great Reset is? Anybody know? Nobody will own anything, and everybody will be happy, and we will all be serfs to the government, and some of us will be in camps. Those of us who don't agree, I was watching a video yesterday of a young lady in Darwin, Australia, who was put in a camp because she had been exposed to someone who had COVID. And the police came, or federal agents came to her house, and she lied to them and said she'd been tested, and she hadn't. They checked. Apparently, they don't have the CVS or the Walgreens test that we can get here. And she lied to them. She hadn't gone to a national testing site. And so they came and arrested her, as it was punitive, to put her in a camp for 14 days, called Howard Springs in Darwin, Australia. and they put her away. They locked her up in a camp where you can't walk off the front step. If you do, you get a $5,000 fine. You may have your time in this internment camp extended if you violate the rule of leaving, of going off your front step. So you have to stay within the within your little apartment and your front step. You're given about 8 feet set to walk, you know, on your porch. And then you have a yellow line. You can't cross the yellow line. If you do and they catch you, they'll give you another 14 days. And she, just because she lied to them, and then she confessed that she lied, but they still gave her 14 days, and she didn't even have COVID. She didn't get COVID. She didn't have COVID. She never got COVID, but she spent 14 days in an internment camp. FEMA has camps in this country. They do exist. There's even one, I believe, in Kingsport. I believe the old armament factory, I believe they have a camp there. I've been told. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. So, but I have seen them on TV. Governor former Governor Jesse Ventura, used to have a TV show. And although he's not my favorite person, he went to some of these camps. He was investigating, and he went to one which looked like a federal prison. And he knocked on the door. They wouldn't just let him in. Like, you can go into a federal prison, but you can't go into one of these camps. And so he knocked on the door. And remember, this guy's a former governor of a state. And they said, what do you want? And he said, what is this place? It looks like a prison. They said, well, we can't really talk about it. And he said, can I come in and look around? And they said, no, we can't let you in. Then he went to another place in Georgia, and it was like a FEMA camp. It was a field. He went to a large field through the forest. Someone had told him about this place where they had thousands of black coffins. They were plastic, heavy-duty plastic coffins. And there were at least 10,000 of them, he said. And he went there and videotaped it with his crew. And the next day they came back and they were gone. And I saw this on video. I watched it with my own eyes. These camps exist. And if you put it on Facebook, if you ask whatever you call that, Snopes, if it's real, it'll say no. But it is real. And it is true. So I want you to think about the Great Reset. The Great Reset, and I like the way Dave said that. It's where you own nothing. You have no money, no wealth of your own, no rights. You have no rights, no guns. You probably, if you're alive, if you make it through most of the totalitarian or communist regimes that have done this sort of thing, have usually gone through a great purge where millions of people died. So if you make it to that point of the Great Reset, if you live long enough, like Pol Pot, he killed many of his people, millions of his people. Mao killed some 26 million Chinese. Somebody just opened the front door. I don't know why. It's if there's somebody out there. Chairman Mao, Stalin purged millions of his own people, and all of these dictators are one thing they have in common. They like to kill their own people, especially anyone who disagrees with them in any way, shape, or form, or doesn't meet the standard, whatever that standard is. So think about the Great Reset. Now, the Bible says a man makes plans and the Lord directs his steps. You can read, or you used to be able to read. I don't know if it's still. I haven't looked at the on the World Economic Forum's website. You could read about the Great Reset. It was on page one of the World Economic Forum's website for a long time. I haven't looked in many months, so I don't know if it's still there. But it talked quite openly and freely about the Great Reset plan for 2030. Like I said, a man makes plans, but the Lord directs his steps. So it may be 2030. It may not be. It may be later. may not, you know, they may not accomplish it. What I notice about this country, we're trying to usher in renewable energy, and what we're really ushering in is the need for more gasoline and coal. As we find out, we don't have enough power and energy, and Europe found out very quickly this winter that they tried to bring in renewable energy and do away with fossil fuels so quickly, they froze their people. So they ran out of gas, and they ran out of, natural gas, and they ran out of gasoline, and they had huge lines waiting at gas stations for gasoline, and the people really suffered in Europe. And so seems as though our government has taken notice. Fuel companies are starting to drill, baby, drill, and hopefully we won't see the same problems that they had over there in Europe. If we do, the people in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont will probably, many of them will freeze to death in the northern part of the country because they do not have abundance of fuel supplies for a cold winter. So they had better hope. All right, number one, the Great Reset. Think about that as we talk about the man of lawlessness today. let's see. Think about, as we talked about Daniel 8, we talked about a Western leader with great power will destroy Iran, and Iran's nuclear weapons must be destroyed soon. Iran, I've heard it said they already have nuclear weapons. They actually have nuclear weapons. I'm not sure they have the capability of sending them that they've achieved the ability to send them on the end of an ICBM. But they do have nuclear weapons, and they must be stopped. Why must Daniel 8 deals with the prophecy of the destruction of Iran and the end times, not complete destruction, but the destruction of their military power, of their government, and of their nukes. It doesn't say nukes in the Bible, but that's the reason they're in there. That's the reason there's an end time war with Iran that's coming. It hasn't come yet, but it is coming. And it says that Iran, it talks about Iran in terms of a ram with two horns, and we'll talk about those meaning of the horns and the ram. But the angel Gabriel tells us it represents Medo-Persia, which is today modern Iran, and the area encompassing Iraq. The area of the Kurds, southern Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, all the way over, down to Jordan, and even in ancient times included Israel, and all the way down to Egypt. Today it's not quite as big a territory. It doesn't include Israel, doesn't include Jordan, but it still includes Syria and Lebanon and Iraq, and that's very important. So Iran's nuclear weapons must be destroyed. This is and the reason for that is because they have threatened Israel, they have threatened the United States, and the Bible makes it very clear, Israel is never destroyed. Israel is the dwelling place, Jerusalem is the dwelling place of the Messiah and the place of his throne forever. Zechariah chapter 8, he will dwell there forever. Ezekiel chapter 43 verse 7 says that he will be enthroned there and forever. He'll be enthroned there in Jerusalem at the temple, the Ezekiel temple, and so Israel cannot be destroyed by Iranian nukes. It just can't happen. It's just like Goliath could not be allowed to destroy the Israeli forces, and King David, a red-headed warrior, was raised up to defeat Goliath. In the same way, I believe God raised up a red-headed warrior 6 years ago, I said that this man would be our leader. He ruled for 4 years, number 45, and he has a mission. And you know, people say he's a jerk. And they say all kinds of mean things about him. Say that he says, you know, they say he's got a big mouth and he talks too much and they don't like his tweets and all this stuff. But he's no different. They loved him when he was on The Apprentice. They loved him when he wasn't running for president. The whole world loved him. All the big celebrities that rejected him now, and all the networks that rejected him, and he used to be on NBC, now they hate him. You know, they loved him when he wasn't president. But when he became president, they hated him because he has a God mission. And the reason, there's a spiritual reason behind the hate for 45. The reason they hate him is because God has appointed him to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons. He has even spoken it. You can Google it. He has even said, we will not allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. We will destroy them. We will defeat them. We will crush them. He has spoken it several times. President Biden has not said anything to this effect. He will not, and if he's anything like his predecessor, he's talking about making another treaty with Iran and enabling them to continue to build their nuclear program and become a threat to Israel. God will not allow this, and I am predicting that you're going to see 45 come back for another term. I believe we're in an intermission right now. I believe that right now we are in an intermission in between that God is giving us. Even though this looks like we're in a terrible time, it actually hasn't been great, but it hasn't been as bad as we thought it might be. Although this year is going to be tougher than last year. We ain't seen nothing yet. And so I think we're in a time of intermission. Why? Because people aren't ready. People are not ready for what's coming. They're not ready for the man of lawlessness. People are not ready for the purge of the Stalinist or the Maoist or the Pol Pot purge that's coming upon believers, that's coming upon the Jewish people, that's coming upon anyone who doesn't agree with the one world government. Capiche? All right. So that's enough intro. And so a quick review of last time. We talked about the man of lawlessness. We began in Daniel 7 and 8, the first appearance in Scripture of the man of lawlessness. Spoke of prophetic beasts. He first appears as a little horn in Daniel 7, but Daniel 8 talks about him quite nicely. As soon as this great leader from the West defeats the Iranians in prophecy in the end times, it says that this goat from the West, who represents a leader from the West, after he defeats the ram, the Persian ram, and destroys it, in verse 8 of Daniel 8, it says, then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly. But as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. So, 6 years ago, I said that Donald, and the reason, I'm avoiding, the term, using different terminology because of the censoring that goes on. The male goat magnifies. So what's this male goat? So if you look back, there's a ram. Verse 3, then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a ram with two horns was standing in front of the canal. This is in the prophet Daniel is in Shushan in Persia. And now the two horns of the ram were long, but one was longer than the other, with the longer one coming up last. I saw the ram butting westward, northward, and southward, and no other beasts could stand before him, nor was there anyone to rescue from his power. But he did as he pleased and magnified himself. While I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground, and the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. So, let's just finish this, and I'll tell you what the beast and the horn represent. So he came up to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed at him in his mighty wrath. I saw him come beside the ram, and he was enraged at him, and he struck the ram and shattered his horns. And the ram had no strength to withstand him, so he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him, and there was none to rescue the ram from his power. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly. Is that, 6 years ago when I was looking at the candidates for president, and I knew this had to be a Republican, and I looked at the candidates who were standing in February when I preached this message the first time, and I said, it's got to be that redheaded dude. He'd be the only one that would magnify himself exceedingly. But as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south and the east toward the beautiful land, and it grew up to the host of heaven, and caused some of the host and some of the stars to fall to the earth, and it trampled them down, even magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host, that's Yeshua, and it removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was thrown down on account of transgression. So let's move to the next page, and the angel Gabriel is explaining this, and he says in verse 21, the shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece. Well, Greece couldn't fight itself out of a paper bag. But Greece is a metaphor for Western power, for Gentile power from the West. Whether it's European or the United States, I believe in this case it's the United States. We're the only power able to destroy Iran from the air without touching the ground, as the Bible says here. We're the only power that's able to send airplanes with bombs, bunker buster bombs that will hit the nuclear sites in Iran and cause their caves to collapse and cause the ants underneath the ground to just die and ruin their whole thing. We can do it. So we're the only power capable of doing it with conventional weapons. Only Israel could do it with nuclear weapons, but it says it's Greece. So it's got to be a Gentile. Greece is a metaphor for the Gentiles. And so it's a Gentile nation that conquers the Persians, okay? In the latter interpretation. In the ancient interpretation of this, of chapter 8 of Daniel, it's about Alexander the Great attacking Darius III at the Battle of Gaugamela, where he defeated Darius III. Darius ran from the battlefield. He ran into the hills where his own men killed him at a place called Issus. But to understand, so what's important here is it says after this beast, this goat from the west, destroys the ram, which is Persia, and it says, verse 22, the broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represent four kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power. So if it's the United States, if I'm right about this, and it's the United States that defeats Iran, then we're going to be broken as soon as it happens, as soon as this leader, I believe, is Old Red number 45, as soon as he comes back and destroys Iran's power, he's going to magnify himself exceedingly, take credit for it, and then his power is going to be broken, And it says, in the latter period of the rule, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power, and he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. Through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence, and he will magnify himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they are at ease. He will even oppose the prince of princes, Yeshua, but he will be broken without human agency. So who's he talking about? Well, you go back a page to verse 8, after the goat magnifies himself, and we see in verse 9, after, I believe, the United States, after he's broken, after he defeats Iran, that'll be the last act of this president, old Red 45. And after he magnifies himself, it says his horn will be broken, and in its place will come up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds. That we're told those are four nations, weaker nations. Out of one of those weaker nations, a rather small horn, verse 9, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the west, the beautiful land, it grew up to the host of heaven and caused some of the host. So you see, the Antichrist, there's the Antichrist. He's the small horn. So after Iran is destroyed, this is the point. After a Western leader, who I believe has already been president and is coming back again in 24, he's going to defeat Iran. That'll be his final act. That's his major, that's his God calling. That's his mission, to destroy Iran's nuclear power. And after he does that, his power will be broken, and the man of lawlessness will rise up. Small horn will begin to rise. Now, he rises for 3.5 years. 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's the beginning of the day of the Lord, the first 3.5 years. He seems like a nice guy at first, and then eventually he turns on the saints, he turns on all mankind. He becomes a very vicious, very evil character. But he doesn't start out that way. And then in the middle of the 3.5 years, he rules for 42 months. Then we see the second half of the second half of what's known as the Great Tribulation. So let's continue. So the last time we talked, the man of lawlessness, we began in Daniel 7 and 8. The first appearance as the small horn. He's also mentioned and spoken of in Daniel 7. We spoke of prophetic beasts, not all beasts. Everybody say prophetic beasts. Just those spoken of by the prophets in specific contexts, such as visions, like Daniel had visions of these beasts. We talked about how these prophetic beasts represent nations, like this beast that the United Nations built outside the New York headquarters of, or inside, I'm not sure if it's inside or outside, but they built a statue of the beast. I'm going to explain what the beast is made of, what characteristics he has. And so just those spoken of by the prophet. So a beast represents, prophetically, represents a nation or a ruler. And in the horn that a beast has, if it has horns, those horns represent its military. It represents the power of the king or the rule president or the ruler. It represents his government, and it represents. And so, when his horn is broken, it means his power is broken, his government is broken, and his maybe even his life is taken, is what it means. So, when you see the goat trample the ram and break his horns, you know he's destroyed the power. He's destroyed the government. And I believe 45, actually, when he killed Soleimani a couple years ago, that was one of the horns, I believe. Soleimani was one of the horns. He ruled the Media part of the Medo-Persia, And Soleimani was in charge of the area known as Media in ancient times. And the Ayatollah rules is the other horn on the ram, and he's still ruling in Iran while Soleimani is gone. Soleimani is the man. Well, you see all these commercials for tunnels to towers, and building houses for veterans who have been wounded and who have no limbs, no legs, arms blown off, legs blown off. And they have special houses made where they can have reach cupboards that'll come down and things that will move up and down for them so they can have access to these houses that they're building for them. And Wounded Warrior Project. You can thank Mr. Soleimani. General Soleimani was largely responsible for putting the IEDs and the mines that caused so many of our veterans, of our great veterans, to be wounded or killed in Iraq and in Afghanistan and in the war that began in 2003. Hallelujah. Okay, so a beast represents a nation. His horns represent the nation, the king, the government, the military. And that's a prophetic beast, not any beast. I'm not talking about the donkey that Yeshua rode into Jerusalem. I'm not talking about Balaam's donkey. I'm talking about when the prophets have visions of beasts. They represent nations. So let's go on. So last time we spoke of the man of lawlessness, we spent a lot of time in Daniel 8 and end time prophecy of the destruction of both Darius III by Alexander, but an even greater fulfillment by an end-time president from the West with great military power who is dragged into war by Iran. Why? Because Iran has nuclear weapons, and since they have threatened both the U.S. and Israel, they must be stopped. Why? Because Israel is not blown off the map in prophecy. In fact, Jerusalem is the dwelling place of the Messiah forever. Zechariah 8, Ezekiel 43, 7, Luke chapter 1. Only the U.S. has the capability to fly over the whole earth and take out Iran's nukes and government by air. Read verse 6 through 10. It can only be Trump. He can only be he's the only one who has the gumption, who has the chutzpah to do it. He said he would do it. No other person said they would do it. When he was president, he said he would do it. He's going to do it. It's his mission. He's got to come back. Just like people say, when George H.W. Bush fought the Gulf War in 1991 and he didn't finish the job, and then his son came back to finish it. And you know what I saw in the spirit? I saw the son coming back to finish the job that his father started. But his father didn't finish the job. He left Hussein in power. He rolled in, steamrolled from Kuwait, went through the desert, attacked Baghdad, and then took off and left Saddam Hussein, weakened, but in power. And then the son came back, and then afterward, Saddam Hussein sent missiles to Israel and killed Israelis and frightened hundreds of thousands, millions of Israelis with those Scud missiles, But George Bush Sr. did not finish the job. And I believe God raised up his son to do it. Now, this goes against everything that MSNBC, CNN, Jake Tapper, and all the mainstream media will tell you, and all the movies and all the stuff that's made about, who's the guy who played the Bourne Identity? What was his name? The Bourne? Matt Damon. Matt Damon made a movie about soldiers looking for weapons of mass destruction. They didn't find any. And so it was a political movie showing that the war was useless and pointless because there were no weapons of mass destruction. Well, I'm here to tell you, they did have weapons of mass destruction. They moved them to Syria. And Israel has destroyed most of those weapons of mass destruction. But before Israel could destroy them, the Syrians used them on their own people. And there have been numerous instances. I don't know if Google will do it, but go to some other search engine and look up how Syria has used chemical weapons on their own people. And you'll see horrible faces, images, green, people who are green and their skin, you know, unnaturally black and just horrifically just destroyed by chemical weapons. Where do you think that stuff came from? Came from Iraq. It was just driven by truck through the desert a few hours from Iraq to Syria. That's how they got rid of it. And so, you know, I don't know. He certainly had them. He got rid of them. But I do believe that it was God's will for W, who was no, I'm no fan of W, I'll tell you that. I do think it was his job to finish the work of his father. I think he was called to do it. I know many people disagree with that. I think there were weapons of mass destruction. They were just in Syria. They weren't in Iraq. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. So, if Trump is the man to destroy Iran in Daniel 8, which is all about an end-time destruction of Iran, why? Because they have nuclear weapons. It will be Trump's final act. When he comes back in 24, and I believe he will, I believe he's going to come back. I believe he's going to win, not because of man, but because of God. He has a work to do. And his work is to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons. So it will be Trump's final act. He'll magnify himself exceedingly. And I'm going out on a limb. You don't have to believe what I say. I'm prophesying to you. If what I say doesn't come to pass, call me a liar, call me a false prophet. But I believe he's coming back, or one of his sons, or some, you know, somebody like George Bush Senior. It was George Bush Junior that went and finished the work his father started, or tried to. It'll either be a son of Trump, or it'll be one of his, you know, disciples who will come and do the work, if it's not him personally. But either way, it'll be an ally of Trump who comes in and does this work, magnifies himself exceedingly, and destroys Iran's nukes. And it has to happen because Israel's threatened, and Israel is not blown off the map. We all agree with that. Israel's not blown off the map. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And for the folks at home, can I get an amen? And if you disagree with me, get over it. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go on. All right. So he is a red-headed David fighting a modern-day Goliath. However, we read his power will be broken immediately after he accomplishes the mission, and his country, the USA, will be divided into four weaker nations, out of which a small horn will arise. That's the man of lawlessness, one of the four smaller nations. Read verse 19 through 25 I have here. So let's look at chapter 8, verse 19. He said, "Behold, I'm going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation." This is the angel Gabriel talking to Daniel. At the final period of the indignation. This is the time. The final period of the indignation is the time of the man of lawlessness. It's the time of the day of the Lord, of the end of the very, you know, of the desecration of the temple, and that's what it's referring to. And so anyway, he said, "Behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. The ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece, And the large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So the first king was Alexander the Great. But in end time fulfillment, I believe it's talking about, I said this 6 years ago, 9 months before he was elected, I preached 3 sermons predicting that Donald Trump would be president. 9 months. I even stood and I opposed General, what was the guy's name? He was the head of special forces. He was the head of Delta Force, the SEALs, the Green Berets, and General Gary Harrell came to. I was in a meeting with General Gary Harrell, and I said this 6 months. I said what I'm saying to you now. I said Trump's going to win. It was May of 2016. I stood there. I was speaking to a group of people. General Harrell was in the crowd, right in our fellowship hall. And he was the head of. He had retired in 2008. As commander of all U.S. Special Forces, Delta Force, Green Berets, SEALs, Army Rangers, Marine Special Ops, and so forth. And he was right there in our fellowship hall, and we had a meeting about Aliyah. And I said, Donald Trump's going to win the election. And General Harrell, who's famous for Black Hawk Down. He's the one who sent the Marines back in. If you watch the movie, Black Hawk Down, he's out on the ship giving the orders. He was Colonel Harrell then. He was giving the orders to send the Marines back in to save the men on the Black Hawk helicopter. One of them died, one of them lived. And Harrell said to me, there'll be martial law. He said, Trump will never be president. This is 6 months before he was elected. I said, General, with all due respect, he's going to be president. This little Rabbi Joe opposing Lieutenant General of the United States Army, and no small general at that. Amen? And let's just say he didn't want anything to do with me after that night. But I was one thing he knows, I was right. Another thing he knows is that we're related. My wife's related to him through marriage, and has had dinner at his house twice since then, but I didn't go. But he remembered us, though, didn't he? Yeah. So he knows. But so his power. So verse 21: the shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece. And the large horn that is between his eyes, the first king, that was Alexander. The second king was Donald Trump, I believe. The broken horn and the 4 horns that arose in its place represent 4 kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power. And in the latter period of their rule, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. He will destroy to the extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence, and he will magnify himself in his heart. He will destroy many while they are at ease. He will even oppose the Prince of Princes, but he will be broken without human agency. That little horn comes up. If it's the United, if I am right about this, I was right about Trump. If I'm right that the United States is going to be broken into 4, you know, if you look up Civil War in 24, it's all over the news. It's all over the news. They've been talking about, the media has been talking about Civil War in 24. The media, the talking heads have been talking about. They don't see any way that this country can unite and come back together. That the left and the right are too far apart, and all the big talking heads and all the think tank guys they have on TV and all the former military people, they're all talking civil war. They're all talking something big and bad in 24, civil war in 24. That's what they're saying. Either way, whatever happens, America, I believe, is going to be broken into 4 weaker, separate nations. And out of one of those nations, a tiny horn, which is the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, is going to rise up. Let's continue. Okay. Now, it makes sense that he would come out of the United States, because why is the beast at the United Nations in New York? Why is the United Nations in New York? And why did the United Nations make an image of the beast? Maybe we should talk a little bit about the beast. Well, the beast begins as a little horn. He is the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, but as his power grows, the beast grows. We first see him in Daniel 7 with two kings, two wings of an eagle. Let's read. Let's go back to Daniel 7. Let's see this little beast. So Daniel had a vision. It says in Daniel 7:1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream. In his mind, as he lay on his bed, he wrote down the dream. And he was looking in his vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea. By the way, in the Bible, the sea represents the nations, the Gentiles. The sea, the ocean, represents the nations, the Gentiles, the multitudes. So four great beasts were coming up from the sea. In verse 4, the first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. Now, in the Daniel's day, like I said earlier, every prophetic beast is tied to a country. So the beast representing Babylon, if you've ever seen a picture of the ancient Babylon's beast, it was a lion, like a golden lion, with the wings of an eagle, two wings of an eagle. And it says here, it says, but the wings were plucked from that lion, verse 4 there of Daniel 7, until its wings were plucked and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a human mind was also given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. Thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. We talked about the ribs. We're not going to talk about it right now. So the second beast was a bear. And the third beast was a leopard, verse 6, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. And the beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. The 4 heads and the 4 wings represents the desire to conquer the world, the 4 corners of the earth. 4 corners of the earth. The number 4 always in the Bible represents the 4 corners of the earth. Okay? North, west, east, and south. All right. And then finally, he sees a beast that is so horrific, he can't even explain it. It says, verse 7, after this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong. It had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So this beast that he sees is just too much for him. And he says, while I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, his horn possessed his eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth uttering great boasts. There's your Antichrist. There's your anti-Messiah. There's the man of lawlessness. This is in Daniel. All right, now so the beast begins, the man of lawlessness begins as a little horn, and his power increases. He is the man of lawlessness. But as his power grows, the beast grows. We first see him in Daniel 7. But you notice something. Let's go to Revelation 13 now. Okay, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. Remember, didn't Daniel's beast come up out of the sea, right? Out of the nations, out of the multitudes. A beast coming up out of the sea having 10 horns, just like the 4th beast Daniel saw with 10 horns. 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority. Wow. What's the difference between this beast? We see the bear, we see the lion, we see the leopard, we see the beast with the 10 horns that Daniel saw, the fourth beast. What's the difference between this, and it comes up out of the sea, so it's the same beast. What's the difference here between this and Daniel 7? Well, here's the difference. It's got the face of a lion, it's got the feet of a bear, and it's got the body of a leopard. It's confederation. In Revelation 13, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the beast, is now, it's a confederation. It's a United Nations. Okay? They're joined together that now. They're not separate individual beasts. They're all part of the same. It's got the feet of the bear, it's got the face of the lion, it's got the body of the leopard, and so forth. This one has wings. I guess they kept the wings of the eagle on this one. And that would represent the United States. But Daniel 7 says those wings are plucked. And if you remember, in the end times, the U.S. is nowhere to be found. In the very end times, when Israel's attacked, there is no United States in prophecy, except in, I believe, the wings of the great eagle that is talking about the United States. And those wings are plucked. That makes sense. If Donald Trump is the final president, the last president of the United States, and I wrote two articles, which you can get. I wrote two articles about it. You can get these articles. I have a CD set available called The Last President of the United States Series. This is the original three sermons that I preached. You can get this by contacting our ministry. I believe it's $25 for the set. Suggested love gift. I think it's a 4-CD set. There's one extra special CD that I did at a conference that's included. If you're interested in this, these were all done in 2016, so this verifies what a lot of what I'm saying. I said this 5-6 years ago. Everything has come to pass. The only thing that didn't come to pass was Trump's second term. But I don't think he's done. I just think his second term didn't come when we expected it. Or I also think he was taken from him too. But I think that's a good thing for us because we're not ready. We're not ready for the Antichrist. So you can get the newsletters, the teachings on writing. If you want them more in depth, you can get the CDs. Contact us. Okay. Let's go on here. So, are you with me? Does everybody understand what I'm saying so far?
Hallelujah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on. So the United Nations is starting to show its horns, colors, horns, teeth. Starting to show its connection, isn't it? By the way, since we're talking beasts and nations, what country does the bear represent?
Russia.
What does the fox say? Nee, 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 nee. I'm just kidding. that has nothing to do with it. That was a joke. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. All right. So the bear represents Russia. There is no fox. There's little foxes. Little foxes are always trying to ruin your ministry, and you got to get rid of those little foxes. But that has nothing to do with this. Okay, so there's the leopard. The leopard represents Iran. If you look up Iran's national beast, it's the Persian leopard. If you look up the lion, the greatest nation on earth, whose symbol today is the lion, is not Babylon, in modern times, it's England. It's the United Kingdom has the lion. So does Israel, but the lion is the symbol of England. Israel, I mean, England, interestingly, also has the dragon as its symbol. China has the dragon as its symbol and the panda. Now, the reason they don't just go with the dragon in China, they have said, is because they don't believe the dragon is real. But we see right here in chapter 13, the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. And it's the dragon, who's all through Revelation 12, and we're going to get to that. But the dragon is the one who gives the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, who we haven't gotten to, it's who gives them their power. The dragon gives them their power. There's an unholy trinity. The dragon, the beast, the man of lawlessness, and then there's the false prophet. Okay? All right, let's go on. So if the first 3.5 years is the beginning, that begins. How do we know that begins the day of the Lord? Well, let's look in 2 Thessalonians 2. Look in 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless... All right, so let's go back a little bit. All right, so let's go back to verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, in regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by the Spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, the falling away. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So we talked about this little horn who rises up and he takes on Yeshua. It says it in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8. He takes on the captain of the Lord's hosts and the commander of the Lord's hosts. That's Yeshua. He takes on, you know, the Messiah. He thinks he's greater than God and greater than Yeshua, and he attacks the saints, and he were given into his power for 3.5 years. But the first 3.5 years, he has to build his army. He has to build his power. You understand? It doesn't just pop up, you know, like a Pop-Tart out of a toaster. He has to develop his kingdom. So he starts small in Daniel 8, the little horn, but then he's a master of diplomacy, and he gathers his minions, his globalist one world, great reset, climate change, AI, metaverse, minions, all walking around with their Oculus goggles on. You'll know them by their Oculus. That might be their mark, because they all have a mark, the mark of the beast, 666. All right, anyway, so he is revealed to the world. That's the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. That is the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Okay? Right there. Now, okay, so let's go on. Now, Revelation 11, we see that the beast kills the two witnesses. So if you go back to Revelation, go to chapter 11. Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot by the holy city for 42 months. For 42 months, that's 3.5 years. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out from their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. They have the power to shut up the sky. That was like Elijah, who shut up the sky, so that rain will not fall during the days. Elijah also had the power to call down fire on the altar. The days of their power, prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood. That was Moses. He had the power to turn the waters to blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. Moses was able to call forth plagues on the earth. So in my understanding, the two witnesses may not be Moses and Elijah in person, but they have the power and spirit of Moses and Elijah. And that's why Moses and Elijah appeared to Yeshua on the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe the two witnesses are either Moses and Elijah themselves, or they'll come in the spirit, like John the Baptist, in the spirit and power of Moses and Elijah. I don't believe it's Enoch. I don't believe in all the other interpretations. I'm a Moses and Elijah guy. And you can always pray about what I say. If you disagree with me, fine. You're free to disagree with me. Pray about what I say before you fight me. Please pray about it. I spent a lot of time working on this stuff for years. And so these two witnesses, they strike the earth with every plague. Verse 7, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street and the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So it's obviously Jerusalem, but mystically is called Sodom and Egypt. So I guess mystically Jerusalem is called Sodom and Egypt, but it's the city where the Lord was crucified. It's Jerusalem. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And one version of the Bible says they will make merriment. It says they will celebrate. Yes. Sounds like what we did last week, right? The whole world made merry, celebrated, and gave gifts to one another. So the spirit of generosity and gift giving is a good thing, but it's not always a righteous thing. All right. Let's move on. Revelation 12, the dragon comes to hunt both the Messiah and Israel, the nation, particularly Messianic Jews. So let's read Revelation 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. This happened just 2-3 years ago. A great sign appeared in heaven. You can look up the sign. It was Virgo appeared with 9 stars and 3 planets over her head. And Saturn was in her womb, I believe. Saturn was in her belly, and she gave birth on, like, after several days in the heavens. You could look up and see Saturn going down through her loins. She gave birth. And so let's read about her. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Oh, by the way, under her feet was the moon. And the same thing on this constellation that was visible by big telescope, you know, you could actually see it with your eye. You could actually see it with the naked eye in the sky. I saw it. How many of you saw that constellation a couple of years ago? Carol did. Diane, you saw it. Two witnesses. I'm telling the truth. But you can look it up. You can look it up. So a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown and 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. I don't recall that constellation yet. Does anybody know of that one coming forth? The dragon constellation? I don't think it's happened yet. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. And then the woman fled into the wilderness. So we know that at first here it's talking about Mary, the mother of Yeshua, right? Whose child will rule all the nations, and he was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman, to God's throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. This is where God is going to protect people. This is the real rapture here. It's when God takes his people, the woman fled into the wilderness. This is the answer to escaping the wrath of God. God is going to take his people. This is where we differ from those rapture folks. We do believe in a rapture at the very end, on the last day. John 6, is it 49? John 6, where he says on the last day the resurrection will take place, and the resurrection immediately precedes the rapture. John 11, when one of the sisters of Mary or Martha says to him, "Lord, I know that the resurrection will be on the last day." He doesn't argue with her. He doesn't correct her and say, "No, Mary or Martha," I can't remember which one he says. He doesn't say it's not going to be on the last day. He doesn't dispute that the resurrection is the last day. In fact, I'm going to just go to John and give you that verse so you know that the resurrection is on the last day. John. Oh, from Revelation 12. I was in Revelation 12, and I was reading verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. So let me just say, we're no longer talking about Mary here. Before we go look in John, let me just finish this point here so you understand that. And then he says, "And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels were waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time.'" Two more verses and you'll understand what I'm talking about. "And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman." Now John, this is John the revelator, he sees two wings of the great eagle. He's a jet. I mean, he sees a jet plane, but he doesn't know what it is. So he calls it the great eagle with two wings. of the great eagle, verse 14, were given. I recommend people bring a Bible with them when you come, because I always get into the word here. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So we've gone from Mary to Israel. And we've gone from the devil persecuting the woman who is Israel, And it says the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, not Mary. Mary didn't get the two wings of the great eagle, did she? Okay. So it was Israel will be given God, and the people of the Jew, the Messianic Jews, and many Christians, Messianic non-Jews, Christians who love Israel, will be included here. Okay? But so particularly he's talking about Israel, or about believing Israel. So, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away. That didn't happen to Mary. The devil didn't pour out water to destroy Mary and Joseph. So this is talking about Israel now. It's kind of transferred from Mary to Israel. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Well, that's the Messianic Jews. We don't perfectly keep the commandments of God, but we do study Torah. We do keep the spirit of Torah, not the letter. We're not into Judaizing. We're not into legalism. We're into the spirit of the law, because we know that no human being can be. A lot of people, even Christians, say, "I'm Torah observant." If you ever hear someone say they're Torah observant, they're lying, because if you're Torah observant, you don't need the Messiah. If the Messiah is the reason, was our answer to our failure to be Torah observant. None of us could keep the law. None of us could keep the Torah. So that's why God sent his son to save us from our failure to keep the Torah. Does that make sense? We all need Yeshua, because the Torah won't save us. The Torah never saved anybody. I studied Torah all my life. For 30 years till I met the Messiah, I studied Torah. I didn't keep it. I failed. I confess. Teacher, I was bad. Send me to the principal's office. I need Jesus. Boy, did I ever. And by the way, I met him as Jesus. I didn't know who Yeshua was. I only knew I met Jesus. Then I met Yeshua. I got the Jewish part after the gospel. Okay, so let's go back. So we see here the two wings of the great eagle are given. So if we go back to what was the verse 6, where I said, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. So God is, I believe what I'm saying to you is that God is going to fly and in whatever way he uses, ships, airplanes, he has a place in, and the word wilderness in English is desert in Hebrew. It means bamidbar in Hebrew. It means the desert. He's got a place in the desert somewhere in Israel, I believe, that he's going to fly Messianic Jews, our friends, and Christians who love Israel and who you know. But the sojourners, yes, those who dwell amongst us and stand with us, with the Messianic Jews, are going to be flown to a special place that God has prepared. I don't know where it is. It's not Petra. Nobody knows where it is. If they say it's Petra, then the devil knows it's Petra. And the devil doesn't know this place, because they'll be protected, will be protected. And I've been preaching this. It's called Aliyah. The word for it is Aliyah. Is to return to Israel. So there's a mass exodus, or a mass aliyah, return to Israel, coming by air, and Jews will be persecuted and Christians will be persecuted. Unfortunately, many Christians will not know what to do. They will not know the plan, because they're so steeped in rapture theology. that they don't understand what I'm... Well, look at the room here, how few people there are. How many people don't know the plan. If I'm right about Aliyah, and I'm not the only one preaching it, there's an awful lot of Christians who believe in it. I've met them. I've been to conferences around the United States. I've met probably 1,000 Christians who believe in Aliyah, what I'm teaching, that there's going to be an exodus from the nations, particularly from the West, because there's already been one from Russia. There's already been one from the Middle East. There's already been one from Africa of Jews going back to Israel. There's been one from Europe and France. Okay, what are the three top languages in Israel right now? Hebrew, besides Arabic, Hebrew, Russian, and French are the three top languages. What are the countries that have experienced the greatest persecution of Jews in modern times? Russia, or the former Soviet Union, France. France is a very anti-Semitic place. Many Jews, thousands have left, and those are the three top people groups besides the Israelis who have been there for decades. And Americans, English is not the top language spoken in Israel. It's, but it will be when the Exodus comes. Israel will rapidly overtake the other languages. What's that? Okay, so in John, Yeshua said, in verse 39, he says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." So the resurrection is the last day. And 1 Thessalonians 4 says, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Yeshua. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." In other words, the living will not precede the dead in order of resurrection. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first, just as the Lord said, on the last day. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So what the Lord is saying, what Paul's saying in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the living will not precede the dead in the order of resurrection and rapture. First, the dead will rise, which Yeshua himself, Jesus says in John 6, 39 and 40, and also again in John 11. He says on the last day he will raise the dead, and then once he raises the dead, then the rapture will take place. And he says it, not me, on the last day. But what I'm saying in Revelation 12 is that God's plan is, if it's on the last day, it means we're all going to be here during the time of the Antichrist, but we're not appointed to wrath. People say, but you say, "Brother Joe, we're not appointed to wrath." And I say, "You're right. We're not appointed to wrath. We're appointed to being hidden in the wilderness. That's what we're appointed to." But nobody knows it. Nobody knows that that's God's plan. It's for us to be transported by plane with the two wings of the great eagle to the wilderness for time, times, and half a time, to be nourished and protected in some special place that God has prepared for you and for me. But multitudes will be martyred because they have their own plans. See, it says in the Bible, it says the sons of Issachar, They understood the times and they knew what to do. But the sons of God that are out there, they have their bug outs. They all have their own plans. They have their farms. They have their campers. They have this and that. They got their guns and their ammo and their food stocked up, which I don't think is a bad idea to have things stocked up. I read the other day that a bean company president was talking about how the price of his beans are going to go up 40% today from yesterday. And I, if you're on our congregational text list, you would have gotten that news to go shopping. Price increases are going up dramatically starting today across the board. You can look it up if you just go to Google price increases in 2022, and you'll see all the different things. But this guy was the president of Goya Foods, and he said that he's going to raise the prices on his canned goods 40%. Wow. I mean, a can of... Price of what? It's, yeah, he had to. That's exactly right. Is that what those cans are made of, steel? Yeah. So that's what we're dealing with, guys and gals. And it's going to be a tough year. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is not going to be an easy year. Gas is going to go up. Everything's going to go up. And I have been telling you all to stock up for 10 years. Haven't I not been telling people to stock up and prepare and get ready for 10, 15 years? I've been telling, please, stock up. And I don't know. I hope people have listened. All right, let's finish up. So we see the dragon comes to hunt the people of, well, God's, the messianic people, those who keep the commandments and the testimony of Jesus. But he also, and God brings those people, the Jews, back to Israel. But God is no respecter of persons. He'll bring anybody that wants to go, but they got to know why Noah's building his ark. The people have to understand why Noah's building the ark again. As it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the sons of man, the Son of Man. So in other words, Noah's building the ark, which is Aliyah, return to Israel, not the rapture. And the people won't understand that the ark is, I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. That's the plan, but people don't know it. And they won't know where to go or who to connect with. You need to connect with people that are involved with Aliyah, with the return to Israel. Now, people say to me, Rabbi Joe, Israel won't let Messianic Jews or Christians become citizens. They won't let us in to the land of Israel. And I say, that's right, but did God not part the Red Sea with using Moses' staff? Did he not part the Red Sea? Did God not bring a cloud by day and a fire by night? Did great miracles not take manna fall from heaven and feed the people?
Water from rocks?
Well, if God can do those things and raise the dead, he can make a way for Jew and non and Gentile and Christian to go back to Israel. It can change like that. You just have to believe. You just have to believe. I am almost finished here. So, Revelation 13:11, we see, says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns. Now, the earth represents humanity, a person. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Isn't it amazing? And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Isn't this funky, this image of the beast? You know, what they're doing right now, they're taking images of people like Michael Jackson, and they're putting them on stage with other, like they did Nat King Cole on stage with his daughter, Natalie Cole, singing. You know, they did a hologram of Nat King Cole. Yeah, it was years ago. She's dead now. You know, they could do two holograms now, you know. Actually, they could just do a hologram of all the rock and rollers in history, because there's more of them are dead than alive. But anyway, and it'll be one heck of a hollow concert. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That was a bad joke. All right. So anyway, what's with this image stuff? It's probably a hologram, you know, some image of the beast. AI, artificial intelligence, the metaverse. We're seeing it right here. People are going to worship the image. You know, they're going to bow down and worship the image of the beast. So we see this false prophet, and he's given power just like the Antichrist, and it's the dragon that gives him his power. So we have an unholy trinity going on. Just like the devil, all he can do is copy God. He can't create his own. He never creates anything original. All he does is copy God. So God's number is 777, and the Antichrist is 666, the number of man, you know. And it says that, you know, talks about the mark of the beast that will come. Don't take the mark. Now, I've been saying this, and it says, so let's read about the mark in the bottom of chapter 13. In verse 16, and he causes all, the small and the great, this is the false prophet, and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. And so, where is the mark? It will be either the mark will be on their right hand or on the forehead. This is not the vaccination, guys. The vaccination is not the mark of the beast. Okay? Let's all say that. The vaccination is not the mark of the beast. Okay? So, I've been saying this for months, and I'll continue to say it. If you're going to fall on your sword, fall on the mark of the beast. If you're going to destroy your life, and you're going to destroy your life, because unless you don't, if you don't take the mark of the, if you take, all right. Well, seriously, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to lose your job. You ain't going to be able to pay for your mortgage, or your taxes, or groceries, or insurance, or medication, or gasoline, or electricity, or anything. You're going to have to barter. God's going to have to help you survive. Yes. So you probably lose your job if you don't take the mark of the beast. So when you fall on your sword, when I say fall on your sword, by not taking the mark of the beast, you are falling on your sword. You are really giving it up for Jesus. You're willing to say, Lord, I trust you completely that you're going to take care of me and provide for me and give me a place to sleep and food to eat and keep me warm in the winter and cool in the summer, because I'm giving up everything for you, because I'm not going to take this mark. A lot of people will take it. But the vaccination, and I'm not, again, this is not, Joe, you don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to get vaccinated. I don't care. If you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you don't want to get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. What I'm saying is the bigger issue is the mark of the beast. And the vaccination is not the mark of the beast. That's what I'm saying. I'm not telling you not to get vaccinated. I'm not telling you to get vaccinated. Don't misunderstand me. Don't get angry with me. I don't give a rat's tail if you get vaccinated or not. Okay? Whatever works for you. It's like John Lennon said, whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. You know, if it works for you not to get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. If it works for you to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But I am telling you this, the bigger thing, and the thing you better not do if you want to be in the book of life, if you want to be saved and go to heaven, don't take the mark of the beast, because anyone who does will not be saved, will not go to heaven. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. Amen. Your mind will be controlled, Don says. And you'll have no choice about God. You'll be like a zombie. Yeah. Your DNA will be changed. Yeah, it's like putting a computer in you. I mean, right now these phones that we have, they can sense. Do you ever notice things pop up on the phone? You didn't say anything, and all of a sudden something, you know, that you were thinking comes up on the phone. And you're like, what's that? I've actually had things that I've thought just pop up on the phone, you know? And, you know, it's weird. It's creepy. I'm sure there's stuff popping up from my message today. You know? It's like cookies. They call them cookies, but they're not cookies. All right, they're spoiled cookies. So, let me repeat this. I'm not telling you not to take the vaccine. I'm not telling you to take the vaccine. I'm just saying the more important issue, if you're going to fall on your sword and destroy your life, make sure you don't take the mark of the beast. That's you know, to me, and that's my opinion. If you don't have to believe me, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to argue with you. Get vaccinated. Don't get vaccinated. But the mark of the beast is the bigger deal. All right. We're in war, people. We are in a war. Yes. We have been attacked by a biological, weaponized virus that has been sent to us and sent around the world to kill us, to destroy us. And there's going to be, in wartime, collateral damage. And we don't even talk about, they're not even looking to see where this thing originated, Wuhan. They're not even looking. The world should be shining a spotlight on Wuhan. Yes. The world should be ticked off. The world should be dealing with China, but no, nobody is. China's getting away with murder. Literally, murder. And China's getting away with murder. We have been attacked by biological warfare. It has killed over 2.5 million Americans, I believe, have had COVID. I don't know the number who have died. And thousands have been wounded from the virus, have been irreparably harmed from the virus. They're on oxygen. Their organs don't work. They have terrible problems with their kidneys or their lungs or their heart. But that people, there are also injured people who have taken the vaccine, but not nearly as many. And people will fight me on that and say, no, Rabbi Joe, you're wrong. More people have been injured by the vaccine than the virus. Well, I've lost 6 friends just since August who were unvaccinated. And from everything I know from people around the community who've died, it's more people die who are unvaccinated than vaccinated. And that says enough for me. So, yeah, people are going to die from the vaccine. I agree with you folks. But fewer people are dying from the vaccine than are dying from the virus. So I'd rather personally have some protection. Anyway, what you do is up to you. I don't want to fight you. Do your will be done. You do his will, okay? I'm not telling you what to do. All right, let's finish here. Revelation 14:9 warns us against beast worship. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Don't take the mark of the beast. It is the major sword to fall, not to fall on. Fall on that sword. The destruction of the beast and the false prophet. Revelation 19. So, Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was seized, and with him, by the way, Yeshua returns in Revelation 19 after all the judgments. Note this, after the bowl judgments, after the trumpet judgments, after the seal judgments, in chapter 19 is the return of the Messiah. Starting in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it called Faithful and True. He comes, he judges and wages war. Invert chapter 19, people, not chapter 3. Okay, and I saw, let's see, verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. In verse 20, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, and with him by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So when Yeshua returns, he kills the beast and throws him and the false prophet into the lake of fire. And it's not done, it says, by human hands. So it's the Messiah coming back as the Son of God who takes him and tosses him into, or his angels who throw them into the lake of fire. And they're destroyed. That's the end of them. Okay? However, it's not over yet. And Satan is bound. Chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven holding the keys of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. He comes back. It's either Armageddon or it's Gog and Magog. I'm sort of believe that Gog and Magog come at the end and Armageddon comes first at the beginning of the 1,000 years. But either way, it's that type of an event. It's Armageddon or Gog and Magog event. And the devil comes back and all the nations come against, God. They come against Yeshua. Doesn't make any sense to me why, with Yeshua reigning from Jerusalem, the Messiah's king of the world, he's in Israel, most of the world worships him, why would Satan come back and fight him? I don't know, but he does. This is part of God's plan. After 1,000 years, he comes back and there's a war. Satan is defeated. He's thrown into the lake of fire. That's the end of him. He hangs out with Gene Simmons. All right. Conclusion. Happy New Year. Perhaps you received the picture of the beast of Revelation 13, which they recently built at the United Nations. As we conclude, let us summarize some of the important points. Number one, the beast will wage war with the saints, Daniel 7, and the saints will be given into his hand for 3.5 years. That's something y'all need to prepare for. It's not me saying it, it's the Bible. Revelation 17:6, the whore of Babylon riding the beast is drunk with the blood of saints, all with the blood of witnesses of Yeshua, and but the Lamb will overcome her. Since we are not ready for what is coming, by the way, I think she represents New York City, New York, and because Mystery Babylon, if you read Revelation 18, and I'm not going to read it now, I think it's talking about New York City. Okay, since we are not ready for what is coming upon us, God, in his mercy, has extended our time by giving us the Biden administration as an intermission. I do believe the red-headed goat, number 45, will be back in 24 to complete his mission to destroy Iran's nukes. Also, God or buying us more time to make ready for Aliyah. God is buying us more time to make ready for Aliyah. Number two, the man of lawlessness begins as a small horn in Daniel 7 and 8, but as his power increases, he's joined by other nations, horns, rulers, diadems, and so forth. All the beasts of Daniel 7 vision are the same, the lion, the leopard, the bear, as that of Revelation 13. They are not joined in Daniel 7, but they have become a confederacy, a United Nations in Revelation 13. Since the UN has built a statue of the beast in New York City, and I have suggested for 6 years now that the four weaker nations of Daniel 8, from which the man of lawlessness arises, if you read Daniel 8, is a divided and weakened United States, it makes sense that the Confederacy of Nations and Kingdoms is the United Nations, and perhaps the man of lawlessness will be the next UN Secretary General. Remember, this all ties in with the destruction of Iran's nukes, and that must happen sooner than later. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that the coming of the man of lawlessness will be the beginning of the day of the Lord, otherwise known as the seven-year tribulation. If the anti-Messiah appears at the start of the day of the Lord and he persecutes the saints for 3.5 years, 42 months, you can see that in Revelation 11, 2 and 14, verse 5. Then we know the seven-year tribulation begins when he is revealed. Keep an eye on the UN. First 3.5 years are peaceful. Daniel 9:26. Second 3.5 years are full of wrath and the beast and of God. So keep an eye on the UN. Iran's defeat by a Western leader in the next 5 years or so will be a sign of the coming of the anti-Messiah. So when you see Iran's nuclear weapons and their military and their government destroyed, know that the revelation of the Antichrist is coming very shortly thereon. That will be the sign. Number three, God's escape is based on the Exodus, Aliyah. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, if you don't believe me, Moses is our example. 1 Corinthians 10 is all about it. Verse 11, he said, Moses is our example for those of us upon whom the ends of the age have come. Follow the pattern given by Moses. Aliyah is just another word for Exodus, return to Israel from the nations. is God's master plan to hide Messianic Jewish believers, both Jew and non-Jew, and Christians who have sacrificially blessed Israel or dwelt with us, sojourned in the Messianic Jewish community. All others will be on their own. Many will be martyred in that day because they did not understand the times and they did not know what to do. Think about Noah's Ark. They had no clue. They needed to get on the Ark. Number four, from the reading, my reading of Revelation 6 through 20, the tribulation is the real rough part is the second 42 months, 3.5 years, until the coming of Yeshua. But I believe we're going to be here throughout all of it until the last day. So if you read Revelation, you will see quite clearly that the beast and his followers have the wrath of God poured out on them during his 42-month span, where he's becomes this guy. This, you know, was a real revelation for me, that his first 3.5 years are kind of like building his empire, and the second half is the real, you know, the wrath part. Okay, we're almost done. So Aliyah must take place fairly soon. Revelation 12 details God's plan to hide believing Israel, Messianic Jews, and our Christian allies in the desert. Revelation 12, 14, Isaiah 60 talks about the return. Isaiah 66, several other chapters. Okay, number six, things to watch for: the rapid growth of AI, artificial intelligence, and communist totalitarian nations like Australia, putting people in camps. Canada is getting really tough on people too. Nations around the world are using COVID as an excuse to lock down and lock up people and even throw people in jail. The governor of Michigan has arrested business owners and thrown them in jail. People from the January 6th thing have been thrown in jail without trial, without bail, and are still sitting in jail waiting for trial. Whereas people who rioted and burned down even federal buildings or police stations have been released and not even prosecuted. It's a Shonda. I mean, it's despicable. So who could the man of lawlessness be? Who could he be? Keep an eye on Obama, Arnold Schwarzenegger. It sounds funny, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, at the funeral of Ronald Reagan, gave the eulogy, and he said that he has much in common with Ronald Reagan. they both were governors of California. They both were actors, and he aspires to be president of the United States. But he can't be president of the United States. He can be president of the United Nations. And he does have, it's interesting, who is the lady from Breakfast at Tiffany's? Audrey Hepburn was a UN ambassador, not the UN ambassador. She was an UN ambassador to Africa for poor children for many years. At the end of her life, last 10 or 15 years of her life, she spent as an ambassador for the poor children around the world. Audrey Hepburn. So the UN likes celebrity. They like appreciate celebrity, and I would not put it past them to put a guy like Arnold Schwarzenegger in power. So I'm just throwing out a name. Obama. I think the UN. Arnold still has great ambition for power, but cannot be president. Clinton is too old. He would be a good candidate for the position of Antichrist. I don't think he'll be around. His health is failing. I just don't see him doing it. So just throwing out some possible names. I don't think Joe Biden is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is a man, so I don't think it's Kamala Harris either. Or AOC, or any of them. Might be Bruce Jenner, but just kidding. I am non-binary, by the way. And lastly, the Great Reset is coming. The Great Reset is coming. Whether you like it or not, the Great Reset is coming. And you need to learn about the Great Reset. As Dave said, the Great Reset essentially is you will have no property, you'll have no wealth, you'll be completely and utterly dependent on the government for anything that you have. And if you don't get out of the countries where the Great Reset takes place and go to the wilderness where God wants to take you in Aliyah and hide you from the Great Reset, which is what I believe it is essentially doing, you're going to have a tough time, because you're going to need a power tool. You're going to need a drill. You're going to be like out there in the woods somewhere trying to like build your house, and you're like, oh, rats, my drill bit broke. And you're not going to have another one, and you won't be able to go to Lowe's because you can't buy anything without the mark of the beast. So you're going to be up the creek, and you know, you go knock on the door of somebody who has the mark and say, hey, I'll trade you some bullets for a, and then they'll call the feds on you, and they'll arrest you and they'll throw you in a camp because you had bullets and you were trying to get a drill bit and you didn't have the mark. They'll be hunting for you. And by the way, they have all this heat thermal technology. They can fly over the wilderness and see red images. They did this in Iraq and Afghanistan. They could see images at night because of their body heat. They could see them running and moving from way up in the sky. And they'll be able to see people, you know, from planes. And really, if you're going to hide out, the best place to be is underground. And I'm not even sure that'll work. Dave probably knows better than I would if that would work. Would that work? And depends on how deep. Yeah. So, yeah, you're hiding a lot of heat. And then also, you know, they do have smokeless fires now. I saw that on advertised, smokeless fires. I thought that was pretty cool because smoke will give you away too. But thank God, my wife says America's a big country. So, but here's the good news. And let me end on a good note. Daniel 7. Let's end on a good note. I kept looking in the night, visions, verse 13, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. But the fact is, the Ancient of Days, he destroys the Antichrist, as we read in Daniel 19. And here we go. It says it right here. Then I desired to know, verse 19, the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and the meaning of the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, I think that's this guy here, and that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts, which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the Highest One, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. But the Most High, Yeshua, the Messiah, will come and he will overpower in favor of the saints, and the saints will take possession of the kingdom. And we win in the end. We win the war. There may be many battles, but we win the war. And isn't that good to know? that if you know the Messiah, you can have peace whether you live or die, whether you're martyred or whether you survive, whether you're raptured at the end or whether you go to Aliyah, you're going to be victorious and rule and reign with Messiah for 1,000 years. So let us rejoice and know that we have the victory, and suffering, we will suffer, we are suffering, but the suffering will end. No, we'll suffer for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, and soon coming King. Folks, things are heating up. Get ready. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Seek the Lord. Seek his face. Ask him if you lack wisdom. Don't take my word for everything I've said. Pray about what I've said. Study it. Go back and listen to this message. Listen, read the verses I've spoken. I always tell people, don't take my word for it. Pray. Ask God. But be ready. My purpose is to help you be ready. Love you. God, shalom be upon you. I'm not here to argue with you or fight with you. This is the way I see it. You can take it or you can leave it. God bless you and Shabbat shalom.